Let's pray and let's get into this morning study. Heavenly Father, so grateful for this day, Lord, for new life, for the sun, Lord, and this stay of winter weather that we're enjoying, Lord. Pray that you would bless this time in your word, that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, we thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. And Lord, we just pray that we'd have discerning hearts, especially in these days. And just give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church. And Lord, if there's any that may have been misled or led astray by false doctrines, Lord, that maybe that they're okay, that they don't need Jesus, I pray that you would speak to their hearts this morning, Lord, and they would know how much you love them. And so we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. The Lord be magnified, Lord, in all we do, for sure. Now, as we've been going through, we saw 1 Peter. Peter wrote his first letter, obviously, for the Christians who were being persecuted and there are dangers from outside of the church that Peter was writing them and encouraging them to stand firm in the faith, and despite these things that were coming against the church. And now in 2 Peter, he would beginning to write about the dangers from inside the church. Know the authentic. We've been talking about the real Jesus. We need to know Jesus through his word, because the word of God, you know, it's the word of God manifested in the flesh. It's Jesus Christ was the word. And so important that we grow in our understanding and knowledge of who Jesus is, because there are a lot of false Jesuses being presented today. And sadly, a lot of them are within the church. And we need to be very careful. We need to be very discerning. Peter, knowing that he would soon die, wrote this second letter to the church, remember, to remind them, by way of reminder, of the divine nature that we are partakers of. Not that we become divine, but that we are being perfected, we are being sanctified as we grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Peter said we didn't follow cunningly devised fables. We didn't make anything up about Jesus. The word of God is true. Jesus is the Son of God. And we saw and we heard, he says, we were eyewitnesses of the Father giving Jesus the honor and glory. Remember when they were up on that mount, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Back in chapter 1, verse 21, we ended last week, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That word moved means carried alongside. The first damnable heresy, that's the foundation for all other heresies throughout history, is found in Genesis chapter 3. It says, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in that day, in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Firstly, Satan himself misquotes. Did God really say? Did he really say you can't eat of any of the trees or certain trees? That's not what God said. God never said that they should not touch it. He just said, you shall not eat of it. And so, sadly, Eve here adds to God's word. Lastly, he says, you will be like God. You see, we are created in God's image, but we are not gods. It's about knowing him and communing with him spiritually. But we have the sure word written by man or by men of God, carried alongside by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't their opinions that were being written. They wrote as the Holy Spirit inspired truth in them, inspired them to write these words for us. And so Peter says in chapter 2, verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Now it says that there were false prophets among the people, and he was talking about the children of Israel. Throughout the history of Israel, there were false prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, pretty much all the prophets, all contended with and had to address false prophets that were speaking to the kings and the leaders and to the people. The danger for the church, Peter says, are false teachers. There's a difference between teaching from the Word and teaching the Word. There is a false teaching going on today that the truth is in the Bible, but the Bible is not all true. Systematically, we teach verse by verse, chapter by chapter, teaching the full counsel of God. And I keep in mind, I know that there are good ministries out there. I know that there are godly men who are faithful to the Word of God that might not teach the Word of God and teach from the Word of God, and it's okay. There is no shortage of preachers today who sincerely believe God's Word and whose faith is in Jesus Christ. They're champions of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The problem in the church today, really throughout church history though, is the shortage of fruitful, exegetical Bible teachers who expose the body of Christ, and really it is the way that the body of Christ or the false teachers are exposed to the body of Christ. Now, Peter isn't the only one that gives the warnings about false teachers and heresies in end times. Certainly, it was written to the first century church. There are some that said it's going to increase at end times. Even Jesus said that there will be many false prophets that will come in His name. But we need to understand what is going on in the church today, and that Peter isn't the only one that addresses that. Whenever I believe, you know, and I've done this for a number of years now, but I know that sense that people, oh, well, we really shouldn't be judging other people's ministries and you know, talking about that. Oh, yes, we should. Because Peter and Jude and Paul and John all had something to say about the false teaching that would infiltrate the church. And the purpose that, you know, for Peter writing this letter and reminding the church to know Jesus, to know His Word, so that we know when what we're hearing isn't right. Acts 20, 29 through 30, Paul wrote, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." Now, perverse things are obviously a perversion of truth. They come against the truth. There was a very, very popular ministry out on the West Coast who had a pastor that basically would cuss from the pulpit and say lewd things from the pulpit. And God has since, that ministry has been shut down. But that became a very popular thing. People liked to have a guy that was raw up there. You know, the Scripture says that we're not to allow anything perverse come out of our mouths. We need to watch what we say, not just pastors, the church. Philippians 3:17-19, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern," Paul talking about the Paul and the leadership of the church, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." Paul writing to Timothy in his first and second letter, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith." And also we're told that there's going to be a falling away in end times. We're watching it right now. "But they'll depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." And then in his second letter, chapter 3, starting at verse 1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and holy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." That's the culture and society we have today. "Having a form of godliness." Oh, I believe in God. I believe there's a God. Oh, yeah. "But denying its power to change, to transform a life." The gospel, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And from such people turn away." And then John wrote in his first letter in chapter 4, starting at verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." He says they will secretly bring in these destructive heresies. That means lead in aside. "Oh yeah, I believe the Bible, but God has given me a special revelation, super understanding." They bring in unbiblical insight alongside of God's word, and they use it to try, they use God's word to legitimize the counterfeit by bringing it alongside the genuine, the truth of God's word. Secretly, they do this, and that's by stealth they bring in destructive heresies. That word heresies means to bring a choice or disunion. You can believe what God's word says, and you can believe this new revelation that I have. To put it simply, a heretic is a sectarianist. They want to draw people to their own false teachings. They want to start their own sect, is what that is talking about. Here, Peter is reminding the church to know the truth so you can recognize the heresy, the counterfeit. The same heresy that overtook Eve. Did God really say, is that really what it means? Can you really be sure that you have the right translation? Or that wasn't added? God has said what he means, and he means what he says. And God's word, Peter said, is of no private interpretation. It is of no other opinion. In Isaiah chapter 55, starting at verse 6, it says this, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Even denying the Lord, you know, who bought them, Peter says. Paul wrote, "For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That word bought, the same usage there. But it also means redeemed. They deny Christ's atoning sacrifice, the cross, the cleansing blood, his resurrection, the complete work of Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:2, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for the whole world." Hey, you're okay. Jesus knows you. Atonement was an unnecessary trip to the cross. God will love you into eternity. These are all things that are coming, that are being written in books from pastors, church leaders. And I can't go over all the ones that I've heard in the almost 16 years I've been the senior pastor here. A father sending his son to die on a cross is cosmic child abuse. Jesus went to the cross to make a political statement. Yes, Jesus knows you. And he knows that unless he took your sin and my sin to the cross, that we would be without hope, hopelessly lost. The Father deemed it necessary from the foundation of the world that his Son would die in the place of sinful man. And by becoming a propitiation for sin, we can be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." They bring on themselves swift destruction, Peter says. Now, to me, it's not swift enough, because I see, when I hear some of the things, crazy things that are coming out of pulpits and out of churches and are being written in books today, in the name of the church, in the name of Jesus, I think God should snuff them out quick. If it were me. If it were me, I'd remove the false teachers before another crazy thing came out of their mouth and they misled another poor lost soul. Here's the thing, though. It's not, as you know, with the heart of Asaph, and we've talked about this a number of times, I mean, it seems that wickedness and evil is prospering today. Just turn on the TV and watch the commercials. And he said, I almost gave up. If God isn't going to do something, why be on the side of righteousness, right? Why live a righteous life? He's not going to do anything to them. He's not going to do anything to me. And Asaph said, "Until I went into the house of the Lord, I saw their end." And it causes a broken heart, because God loves them as much as he loves us. And I have to check myself, knowing they are already judged, but God's grace can snatch them from that judgment into eternal life. You know, you have to stop and think about it. God saved me. God saved you. He can save even the false teachers, those that are misleading so many. And he says, "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." Now, here's the thing. They look successful. Some of the largest groups today are following false teachers. Some may even be sincere in their faith, those that are in the congregations, but not be mature enough in their walk to know that what they're hearing is counterfeit, is false. That Jesus Christ himself is being defamed by what's coming from those teachers. And if you are a partaker of the divine nature, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you should know if what you're hearing is a little wacky or a little off. God gave you a baloney meter. And it's not OSCAR, you know, it doesn't have a second name, MAYER, it's Jesus Christ. Have you ever been listening to somebody and it sounds, he says this, says that. You open the Bible and he's misquoting purposefully, or he says something that's a little off and you get a little check in your heart. Maybe I'll listen to a little bit more. Maybe, man, you get that check in your heart, you need to turn that guy off, that person off. A lot of what they are saying sounds great. But then they insist on adding their own crazy opinion on things. They're successful in getting many to follow them. I think that's one of the saddest things that Peter says here. Peter isn't talking about Jim Jones or the Moonies or the Hale Boppers. They're pretty obviously crazy. It was a Waco. What was that? Branch Davidians. What he's talking about are men and women who feign faith and enough about God's word to draw people in and then to split them off from the body of faithful believers. Years and years ago, I think it was probably my first or second year, we had somebody in here that was teaching something that just wasn't right, wanted to express it, and would talk to people in fellowship afterwards. And God finally removed him. But the intention was to draw people to his opinion of what he thought was going to happen after this life and everything else, but not according to what the scripture clearly teaches. And it happens every once in a while. Some wacky things, some weird ideas. They have a secret from God, a private interpretation, like love wins. They remove all of the rules because people hate rules, right? It's okay to live with your boyfriend or girlfriend. You could smoke some of that. It's legal. It's natural. I've heard it all. There's a priest I was reading on there who claims to have a new revelation about how the children of Israel remained so healthy and were able to be free from like ailments, joint ailments and everything else as they wandered the wilderness. It's been a while since I read it. I think it was the hyssop, talking about hyssop, claiming that he had discovered that the Hebrew for hyssop was talking about cannabis. And evidently, millions of Jewish people were wandering the desert in the wilderness for 40 years getting stoned. I'm dead serious. Or maybe it's cool to have a few drinks. There's a lot of pastors that are starting to join the congregations at the bar. In fact, it became a real great idea to have the Bible, the brew, and you. So let's have a Bohemian Bible study. If culture says it's okay, then God is down with it too. The Bible really addresses ancient cultural norms anyways, and they don't apply today. If it feels right, it's of the Holy Spirit. Now that's kind of a bummer one because that came from John Wimber, who was actually Calvary Chapel and went off and started Vineyard Fellowships. That infiltrated a seminary in Pasadena, California, Fuller Seminary, and then spread like wildfire. If it feels right, it's of the Holy Spirit. Go for it. And today you see so much of the church today, what it's offering is sensual. It's based on feelings and exciting emotion. People love it where there's no order or exhortation to live holy lives according to the Scripture. Or what about, we got the miracles going on here. The power. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. There are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves." Many of them aren't in sheep's clothing today. They're in multi-thousand dollar name brand suits, gold watches. "You will know them by your fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" And then down in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Obedience is what is rewarded. Obedience to God's word. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" We did it. We got the power. We got the miracles. This is where, you know, and it's just people swinging on chandeliers. And they're, you know, and they're pulling the wool over people's eyes. So many of those ministries and those teachers have been caught in their lies. There's one on TV today that got caught with, you know, supposedly he was able to read people's minds and know what people, the ailments they had, and he got caught with a thing in his ear. They would ask people questions before they come in. That's happened to so many of them. Make it sound like the miraculous. I miraculously know. God speaks to me. And so he says, "By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." By covetousness. Paul would write about covetousness because Paul, when you hear him talk, he goes, according to the law, he thought he was doing pretty well until he came across that "thou shalt not covet," and he knew then that he was guilty. Admitting his unrighteousness had unraveled by that. Covet means to want what someone else has that is not meant for you. I'm going to read that again. To covet is to want what someone else has that is not meant for you. Anybody else here guilty of covetousness? If you don't have it, it's not for you. What's the most coveted thing on earth? Money. Listen, false teachers will let you know who they are because they want to have what you have. I need a new jet. Better yet, I need a bigger jet. These have both come out of the church. God told me that my wife needs a new Mercedes. Sadly, many more are fooled today because of the TV, radio, multimedia, man. It's easy. It's easy to get into people's homes now. They don't even have to come and see these, you know, these false teachers don't have to worry about somebody showing up where they're at. They can go right into their homes. They advertise their books. Buy my book on 7 ways to success, 10 ways to prosper and be blessed by God, 20 signs of a successful church. And Peter says they're going to exploit you. That is, they're going to make merchandise of you, like the money changers at the temple. And you know how Jesus reacted to them. Whenever I hear there's a move of the Holy Spirit and there's a budget attached to it, or that it's going to cost money, or it's only going to prosper if you send a check, when I hear that, it makes me mad. I will not make merchandise of God's people. What I have, I am blessed by from God. He takes care of all of my needs. Not one of you needs to write a check for Pastor Bill. God takes care of me. You hear anything about seed money, sowing seeds? You give 10, God will give you 100 back. You give 1,000 to 100, He'll give you 1,000. Sowing seeds. You hear that, you know you've got a false teacher. Peter says they want to prosper off of you, make merchandise of you. And it says they'll do it with deceptive words. They're self-promoters. I can't believe, I'm not going to. They're self-promoters. One of the big self-promoters was out in Southern California at the Crystal Cathedral. The world's most beautiful church. The world's largest pipe organ. You know, I wrote on page 68 of my book, which means that he hoped that you had his book. But so many are promoting themselves. That word deceptive is plastos. We get plastic. Well-crafted words like planting seeds, or God will give you the increase. The more you give, the more God. You can't outgive God. You ever been in a place where they ask for money more than once? And the worship team, or not the worship team, but that group, the missionary group that comes from Downey, they had gone down, they were scoping out areas down in Detroit where they would go minister to, and they had gone to a Sunday night service at a church. And you know, some bizarre questioning, they started asking, they said, "You speak in tongues, you speak in tongues?" I said, "Well, no, I do, but she doesn't." And, "Well, you're not saved if you don't speak in tongues." And they started kind of, "Look, show me in the scripture where it says that the tongues is the evidence of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit," and they couldn't do it. And they took them to 1 Corinthians 13. He said, "Look, here's the evidence of the Holy Spirit: love, and we love you, and we want, you know." And so they were talking to them. They said they couldn't believe it. They must have asked for money 3 or 4 times. And at the end, after everybody's all whipped up, the assistant pastor who was speaking said, "I want everybody to get X amount of money out, and because Pastor so-and-so needs a new pair of alligator shoes." Now, I'd never do that to you, because size 15 alligator shoes be a little bit too much to ask for. There was a guy, a gentleman who went here for a short time, and he told me that he had supported some ministries that his wife would watch, or supported a ministry that his wife watched on TV, and he did it because she enjoyed it. And we had a talk because the ministry was, I said, "Man, you know where that was going, right?" And he goes, "I know." He goes, "But you know, there are other ministries. I started getting mail from this ministry, and I don't know how they got my name and my phone number." I'm going to tell you something. If you've ever given to one of them, you're going to get it from all of them, because they actually sell those lists to one another. I want you to know that. Be careful. They're making merchandise of you. They're great. I mean, Voice of the Martyrs, they're are great organizations out there that have a tasteful way of seeking your support And if you're not able to, great, just pray for us, you know. But it's not, you know, putting your arm behind your back and guilting you into it and those things. So there are some. I'm not trying to, you know, come down on all of them. These are the huckster ministries. Or the miracle water from Jordan. That's the one that got busted, and I don't know how he's back on, but obviously he's making a lot of money because he's able to be on TV, which saddens me. That means that there are many who are being sucked in by this guy's false teaching. And if it's any of you, don't be ashamed. Just stop. Don't give him money. The more money you send, the more miraculous and powerful that water is. Did you know that? Because when you get the first water the first time, you get a miracle. But if you send more money, that water begins to give more and more miracles. Or have you ever watched the group of pastors that pile up all those envelopes of prayer requests? Because their prayer is going to cause you to receive that miracle that's in that, that you're requesting in that. Especially for those that put a check in it. And if you notice, it becomes even more powerful if you donate now. And I say this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but sadly, this is what's going on today that is sucking people in. This is how they make merchandise of God's people. The fastest growing unbiblical movement in the church today is the New Apostolic Reformation. When somebody claims to have a new revelation from God that somehow escaped the church for the last 2,000 years, because there aren't any godly men in the last 2,000 years in the church, right? That have a knowledge of the scriptures. Your baloney meter should be pegged to 100. Out of dominion theology has sprung the little gods heresy. You've heard this stuff? And I'm going to tell you, it's out of the dominion heresy, and it is infiltrating huge churches all over the place. And you'll hear different little snippets like this. It's coming from prosperity pulpits. Stuff like this. This is literally from a huge ministry. He said this, "Am I God? Man was created in the God class. He was not created in the animal class. He was in the God class. He has uniqueness about him that even the angels do not have, and that is the God-given right to choose his own words and speak them, thereby setting his own divine destiny, his own destination. Because he can go to hell if he wants to. He can go to heaven if he wants to. And Jesus said, by your words are you condemned. By your words are you justified, and you'll stand judgment for every empty word you speak out of your mouth. Well, that's divine things. Now, Peter said, by exceeding great and precious promises, you become partakers of the divine nature, which we saw in 1 Peter here, chapter 1. All right, are we gods? We're a class of gods. He goes, there's another one, same guy. He am healing, he am deliverance, he am financial prosperity, mental prosperity, physical prosperity, family prosperity. It's terrible grammar. But you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying it to affect my mind. He am whatever he has to be, because he said he'd meet my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I'm walking around saying, yes, my needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Glory to God. I'm covenanted to the need maker. I'm covenanted to the need meter. I'm covenanted to the I am. And I say this with all respect so that it doesn't upset you too bad, but I say it anyways. When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too. That's dangerous. I'll just read. Now really, disease has had its authority broken. It doesn't have any more right to stand up in front of you in Jesus' name than it had to stand in front of Jesus when he was standing there in the flesh. Because you want me to tell you something? You are Jesus in the flesh. This is real. And it's in a lot of churches today. In different forms and coming across in different ways. The little God theology. It's a heresy. And you may be thinking, you don't like to judge other ministries. You should. Even more so today. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle. That is, from the foundation of the world. God planned to redeem mankind from the foundation of the world. So judgment was present also. God's not kidding or holding all judgment until the great white throne judgment. You understand that, right? Judgment is currently active. It is not idle. You see, that's when God's righteousness seals the fate of those who reject his Son. God is judging what we do with his word and with his Son, Jesus Christ, right now. One day I'm going to stand before him. As a pastor and teacher. And I don't want to hear him say, Bill, I never said that. That was your opinion. I also don't want to stand before him as a watchman of God's people, as a shepherd of Calvary Chapel of Oakland County. And hear that I have become responsible for the blood of those who are lost because I didn't deliver the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And warn each and every one of you of what's going on today from false teachers in his church. And I hope you're not caught up in any of these things. And if you are listening to somebody you're concerned about, you're welcome to come and sit down and we'll talk about it. And if I ever venture or stray from teaching the Word of God verse by verse, chapter by chapter, from Genesis to Revelation, you should run away from here too. Because it is the only way that you might know when somebody has secretly entered in with bad intentions to draw you away from the truth. So important today. I think more important than it was in Peter's day. Because there's a lot of crazy stuff that's going around. And if I ever tell you I'm starting to write a book, don't worry, I have no desire to write a book, because God already wrote one. That's all I need. Amen. Heavenly Father, we hold your word. Oh Lord, as our guide, as our instruction. Lord, you said you hold your word above even your own name. And you're going to hold us accountable, each of us, as to what we have done with your word and with your Son, Jesus Christ. There's no wiggle room there, Lord, we know. But I pray that you would give us discernment in these times, Lord, that we not be led astray by those who would make merchandise of your children, of your church. I just pray that you would be with those, Lord, maybe who have, that you can strengthen them to graciously walk away. Lord, if there's anybody here who has not committed their life to you, Lord, I pray that you would impress upon them the necessity, that the time is urgent, Lord, as we witness what is going on in this world, Lord, and the warnings that you have given us as a Lord, just as a something that we're to watch for, to anticipate that your return is near. Lord, that any connection we have with the world would fade away. We want to be with you, Lord. We just thank you for your love and your grace, your mercy poured out on us. Protect us. We pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.